Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, we're going to do things a little bit differently. Rather than the usual format, we're just going to kind of have a discussion about a few things. We do have some exciting announcements to make in housekeeping, but outside of that, we're just going to chat. So that is what's coming up next. From the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1066, for the week of February 18th, 2020. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation. Dreams agents are committed to giving you honest and unbiased advice and helping you plan a magical vacation your family will remember for years. Visit us on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends and Dreams Unlimited Travel agent, Mr. Sean Falk.
Hi.
My other good friend and Dreams Unlimited Travel agent, making her debut appearance on the Tuesday show, Miss Jennifer Lord.
Hello there.
Rhino.
What? Oh, ow.
And, of course, always making the room more beautiful, Miss Julie Martin.
Hello, y'all.
And we need to have that because then on the Switch, we have Craig.
Ahoy, ahoy.
it's really weird to see him sitting there.
I know. It's usually Rhino on the Switch. But today we just had, it was kind of a perfect storm. I mean, Jennifer was scheduled to be here anyway, but Sean wasn't, and Rhino's not supposed to be at the table, but John and Kevin, John's feeling under the weather, so they are not here today. Denny couldn't be here today because she's not feeling well, which we really hope she gets better fast because she's joining us on a cruise next Monday. We're on the Dream for four nights, Sean and I, along with Denny and my mom, so very excited about that, so hope Denny feels better. So I had to reach out to Sean at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock this morning saying, I need you. And so he raced up here. So yeah. Very glad he's here. Hope your week is off to a good start. A couple things that I do want to mention in housekeeping. For anyone who has paid close attention to, you know, what we've done the last year, especially with the DVC show and the DVC fan website and Facebook group, it should not come as a galloping surprise to anyone that we have launched the DCL fan, as in Disney Cruise Line fan, Facebook group. We launched that last night. Next Monday, we are going to be launching DCLfan.com. That will be a, much like DVC fan, it's going to be a website dedicated to fans of Disney Cruise Line, sharing our passion for it. Already got, you know, a lot of good stuff up there, but we are looking for contributors. We are looking for contributors because right now it's me, Craig, and Jackie that have been writing stuff up. And but we are looking for contributors. So as it is with all our contributors, we pay $25 per article that we publish. And if you're interested, please send a sample of your writing to content@dclfan.com. And if we take you on board, we'll go ahead and give you an account and everything, and you can get started writing some articles for us. The DCL fan website will launch next Monday, which I guess I'm just a glutton for punishment because it's the day we get on the Dream. It's also the day that we hear that the summer 2021 cruises are going to be announced, and that is always the most popular release of the year. That's when Alaska and Europe, the European cruises, all come out. And, you know, those are the most expensive itineraries that Disney Cruise Line has, Alaska and Europe. And yet they are the ones, like when they release the Caribbean and the Bahamas, those releases aren't as big. I'm not just talking about, you know, the price of the reservations. I'm talking about the actual volume. Mm. So if you are interested in getting in early on the summer 2021 sailings, you can send an email to future_bookings@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and you'll be assigned to an agent. And then as soon as we know what the itineraries are, you'll be able to put in a request before the release and get that. And it's always a fun day for my agents, isn't it?
It is a fun day. And that's the best way to get there, too, to do the future bookings, because that allows us to get you on our list ahead of time as opposed to putting them in after the itineraries come out as well, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, because the agents are going to prioritize the stuff that's in there early. Mm-hmm. Right? It's kind of first come, first serve. So when you go into the general queue, I mean, you're going to get taken care of, but it may take a little longer than it would if you sent that email to future_bookings. It's future_bookings, right?
I don't know. I don't run that email, so I don't.
No,
that's
John
a John
does.
Question. Maybe you could text him really quick, because
I'm almost
you don't
positive
get that
it's plural. future_bookings@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. So very excited to launch the whole DCL thing. Of course, huge fan of DCL, always have been. This will be my 31st sailing.
Oh my!
On Disney Cruise Line. John and I did a 3-night. When it was the Magic doing the 3-night sailings, mm-hmm. because it was the only ship. And I want to say that was either late December, early January. It was either late December of 99 or early January. No, 98. It was either late December 98 or early January 99. I don't remember which, but I know it was that. That was our Christmas present to each other that year. And that was all we could do. I mean, that was it. We got a cast member, Ray, because John was working as a mm-hmm. cast member, so... Boy, the difference 20 years makes, right? So.
Somebody has a question about the future bookings email in mm-hmm. the chat here. Lindsay wants to know, if sending an email on future bookings, can you also request an agent when you do that?
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. You can request an agent. Yep. Yeah.
Usually people just type in there. Like, it's literally just you sending an email to this, so it's not like a form or anything. And you literally just write, like, this is what I'm interested in taking. And, like, if this person books this product or whatever, like, I'd like to work with them. If not, then
yeah,
they don't. And
not
John
everybody,
just forwards it to whoever.
We don't allow any agent to book any product. You have to have experience and knowledge, and we have to be satisfied with that before we allow you to touch Disney Cruise Line, any product that we sell. And I know John is extremely strict about mm-hmm. that policy, much to the chagrin of some agents who really want to book Disney Cruise Line, but we don't feel that their experience is there. It's very important to us that our agents know what they're doing. I'm not going to say that because I don't want to be nasty. It's not the case with every agency. I'm sorry. It's just not. The number of emails we get from people that are booked with other agencies. And many agencies are very good. I'm not talking about all of them. A very select few. The number of emails we get from people that are either currently doing business with another agency or just did and want to book with us next time because they had a bad experience. I'm not saying our agents don't make mistakes. They do, but we make sure. It's never because they don't know what they're talking about. It's never because they don't know the product. All right, enough of that.
I did want to add with, like, if you are going to send in for future bookings, or even, like, once we actually hear about the release and you want to go ahead and ask for a cruise, if you have sailed before, like, regardless, like, include as much information as you can with, like, your birth dates and Castaway Club numbers, because if you're gold or silver or whatever, Silver Day comes up and you didn't include your Castaway number, no, like, someone's going to have to reach out to you and figure out what your stuff is, because Disney won't let us access that at all.
Right.
So if you don't include that with your birth date, we literally cannot do anything for you at that point. So
now, there is one other Dreams push I need to do on this, because it's a limited time thing. If you are interested in doing an Adventures by Disney River cruise, and you are willing to do it before September 30th, Dreams is offering right now up to $2,100 booking discount on that. It is significantly higher than what we normally offer. But they're doing some great things on these cruises. Very excited that Sean and I are going to be doing our first AB. It's technically, it's an ABD river cruise, even though it's not, you know, just a river cruise. It's our Egypt trip. So some of it is land-based, but a nice portion of it is a river cruise down the Nile, which, bucket list. So very excited about that. That's coming up in April. But if you are interested in this, we'll have a link. We'll have a link in the show notes right below, or you just go to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com/ABD, Adventures by Disney, ABD, /specials.htm. But very excited about that. But you do have to sail before September 30th of this year. Okay. So, is there anything else in housekeeping? Mm-mm. How's your husband feeling?
Oh, he goes tomorrow. It's his final doctor's appointment with the orthopedist, hopefully. And they'll take him off all restrictions, and then he'll start outpatient physical therapy.
Hasn't your husband already taken himself off all restrictions?
Yes, he has.
As he comes waltzing in here a few weeks ago without his crutches?
But he does have a slight limp. Which kind of makes him look cool, I guess, if he was a rapper. But you know, they all have, like, a signature walk. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it bothers him that much, but he definitely wants to try, you know, to walk as normally as possible, I would think. But he's doing, he really is, he's doing great. You should see my house. Being homebound is wonderful.
Really?
Like, my back patio is, like, spotless. He's fixed all of, like, our exterior lighting. Like,
wow.
Between, like, when he's not at his desk, he has, like, a list, you know. He, like, does something for work, does something for home. Work, home.
Well, because I know he's been working, like, you know, we have so much going on right now. There's so much I haven't announced that we are working on right now. I can say this. I can say this honestly.
He works constantly.
Yes, and Corey's my go-to guy, right? So if I need something done on the site, I go to Corey, and then, you know, Corey will farm certain things out to Will, mm-hmm. Will Perry, who's our creative director. But anything that goes on the sites is really Corey's domain, and I've got no fewer than 6 projects working right now. DCL Fan is just one. And I'm really anxious to launch it so I can pay some attention to some of these other projects I have going on. But this is the busiest. These last 3 months have the busiest I have ever been work-wise in my entire life. And when you consider the stuff that we do, for me to say that, it's really saying something. I am, in the course of a day, I am focused on 4 different things at the same time. But I love it. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. But I know Corey. I know how busy Corey is right now.
Let me just tell you. So he'll work in his office during the daytime, and the cats are his coworkers. Like, it's really adorable, but also I'm a little worried. I'm just teasing, babe. So, and then he moves to the front of our house where the family room is and sits in his recliner with his laptop so he can be with us and watch TV and still be able to work. So,
yep, it's the way of the world. Way of the world. And that's what my agents go through on release days.
Exactly.
Weeks. So, all right. All right. Anything else? Do we have anything else to talk about in housekeeping? All right. Since the news stories this week that I was looking at were just garbage, you know, and I figured rather than sit there and try and put lipstick on a pig, basically, let's just kind of forget it. Forget news. And let's just talk a little bit. One of the things I want to talk about, I did receive, see if I can find the email so I can give this guy props. It came in earlier today. I should have been ready with this. But I'll look for it while I'm talking. Someone sent me a DM on Twitter today asking if we were going to talk about the construction going on right now at Epcot in particular, and especially now that they've announced that they're going to be giving Cinderella Castle a makeover in advance of the 50th anniversary next year. And Nigel Greer was the person who emailed me. I know you probably have a running order regarding today's podcast. You'd be surprised. But I was wondering, could you possibly bring up the subject of continuing expanding works at Magic Kingdom and Epcot? And if you spend any time on Facebook, you're seeing a lot of this being talked about. Epcot in particular, because the changes happening at Epcot are not insignificant. I mean, Future World is undergoing a full frontal lobotomy, effectively. And this is all to get ready for the 50th anniversary. Now, you and I were over there last Friday.
Yeah, like a week ago Friday.
To have dinner at, I don't want to mispronounce it, Takumi Tai. Best meal I've ever had on Disney property, by the way. We're doing a dining show on it, so you get the specifics, but I'm going to tell you right now, very expensive, worth every penny, worth every penny. And I hadn't been in Epcot in a few weeks, and there were a lot more construction walls up than there were the last time I was there. I didn't know where to go.
Yeah, I think the way they formatted it's a little weird. I mean, the main thing that's, you know, a lot of it's under construction, but the main blockade is from where the fountain area used to be. So essentially they closed that whole wall off, and it used to be there was a bit where you could still walk around the wall, but now you have like the entire stretch and you have to go through like all the way over towards like Mission Space and go around to get to World Showcase. So it's an extra step there, but it is confusing.
It was confusing, but I didn't find it particularly. I know what's going on, and I know this is maybe not the most popular opinion in the world. I'm really excited about the changes that they're making to Epcot. I love old Future World. My heart's still broken from them getting rid of Horizons. But you know, I remember Marty Sklar, God rest his soul, when everybody was screaming about them adding characters to Small World out in Disneyland. And he said, it's not a museum. It's supposed to change. It's what Walt wanted, that it always had to evolve. It could never stay stagnant. And I think this is going to tie in maybe to a discussion we're going to have a little later on about the emotional attachment that we form as fans to this stuff. And when it changes, it's not like the 7-Eleven moved, right? Unless you're oddly attached to 7-Eleven. it's not like that. It's something deeper. So while we can roll our eyes at people that complain about it, I think we have to understand where that comes from. But you know, Future World has been, let's be honest, Future World's been kind of sad. And it's needed this overhaul. And I think based on what I've seen in the preview center, I think it's going to breathe a new life into Epcot that it has desperately needed for years.
Yeah, I think actually in terms of construction, this has actually been really, really well done for Disney in terms of non-invasiveness. You know, it's because it has been progressive. It started first with the fountain getting closed off and the Fountain View Starbucks and such. And, you know, that was kind of obnoxious there for a little while because so much of that area was walled off as it was being bulldozed and removed. But ultimately, you could still get through. It just got a little bit congested there in between Mouse Gears and the construction walls. And then they opened that beautiful, beautiful path that goes directly pretty much from like the camera center and Spaceship Earth to the Seas with Nemo and Friends. And before they before they closed off extra areas around the fountain, no one was using that pathway. And like I walked it the first time I had the chance and I'm like, this is beautiful. There is no one around me and it's everything is grand. And now with the last closure over the weekend, losing Electric Umbrella and the rest of that area around there, it's now essentially you have to funnel either through that path going to the right to end up at Seas with Nemo and Friends, or you walk right alongside Universe of Energy and you go up that way. And I've seen the photos at Rope Drop. That's a little early for my blood, so I apologize that I'm not up there getting photos first thing in the morning. It is getting very constricted. And it was a holiday weekend this weekend, so it's understandable why there was extra crowds there on top of that. But I feel like everything they've done to close off this area has been really, really smart. Like they've learned their lessons over the years and how they're funneling it. And it's not going to be great every day, but I don't think it's also as obtrusive as other construction projects mm-hmm. that they've done in the past.
Oh, let's be honest. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying I completely agree because, I mean, Hollywood Studios was a disaster whenever they were – I mean, between closing Great Movie Ride and then adding in Toy Story Land, and they were at the time talking about they were going to get rid of Indiana Jones, and they were switching out everything all around the park. And it got to that point where I just looked at it and I was like, they just should just close it for like 6 months and just work 24/7 on this thing and just get it done at this point. Because
yeah, the amount of money they would lose.
Well, I know, but like the Hollywood Studios project just stretched out so long of like construction and things being closed and walls. And one of the other things you got to remember with Epcot, it's so big, like the actual area and the walkways and stuff. And we, you know, I'm big on New Year's for Epcot, and obviously it's crowded any of the parks on holidays, but Epcot, the streets are so wide and there's so much actual space that it doesn't feel
it absorbs
as congested
brilliantly
as like Magic Kingdom when they have construction and Hollywood Studios when they have construction, because it's so tight everywhere there.
Now, Jennifer, you're down with your family, right?
I am, yes.
On vacation. Have mm-hmm. you been over to Epcot yet?
We have not been to Epcot yet. We were at Universal over the weekend. We're headed down to We just got to Disney today. So, but I think a lot of what ends up happening is everyone wants the changes to come to an extent. I know we're attached to certain things, but nobody wants it to happen when they're on vacation.
Right. They don't want it to impact
their... They want
their...
the park to close and then it to reopen and everything to be done. And that's just not... I think the hardest thing with where they're doing the construction right now that's really hitting a lot of people is it's the first thing you see when you come in, you know. But it's going to be great when it's done. But it is. No one just... Everyone doesn't want it to happen when
well,
they're there.
You know, we also have to remember, too, that, you know, first of all, the majority of people in this room right now are locals, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can go back when it's done. But we're talking about people who are coming for maybe a once a year, once every 2 or 3 year, or once in a lifetime vacation. Mm-hmm. And that was what Nigel on Twitter was mentioning, was that he and his family are going to be here this summer. And Cinderella Castle is going to be undergoing its overhaul in preparation for the 50th. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's understandably disappointed, but it's the sort, I think it's just kind of that, it's unavoidable.
Well,
it's unavoidable.
They do keep it in mind a lot, just because I know whenever I was working at Disney, I'd asked a few times, because I love the Halloween overlay for Haunted Mansion out in Disneyland. Mm. It's one of my favorite things that they do, and I've always been like, oh, I wish so bad they would do that here at Disney World. And, you know, I was pretty much told, like, it's not going to happen, because Disney World, there's so many people that the only time they may ever come in their life is this one time, and they want to do the ride the way that they've always heard about the ride and seen the ride. And if you came one time in your whole life and you did it as Nightmare Before Christmas instead of the classic iteration of it, then they're like, you know, we're going to have so many upset people, and it's just never something we're going to be able to do. Minor tweaks like Jingle Cruise and stuff, like, they can do, but...
Well, also, the fact that, you know, Haunted Mansion is closed for, what, 2 or 3 weeks out there when they're getting ready to do the overlay.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't do that here.
Right.
Not once a year. Mm-hmm. And because in California, it is locals, mm-hmm. it is 80% locals, so it's a little bit different, people that are always coming back. So yeah, that's a big consideration.
Do y'all think with stuff like with them redoing the castle, if you were coming that one time and you know 2021's coming, one of the issues with the agency and with all the people in general is like so many people are waiting to take their Disney World vacation until 2021. I mean, does that even hurt Disney further by... You know, people know it's a year before a big thing, so they're going to be doing construction on the castle.
Well,
they're doing all these things. Why pay all
I've
the money
hearing,
and wait a year?
I've been hearing two sides of that coin.
Mm.
One side of the coin saying that the crowds are going to, because a lot of people are holding off until 2021, 2022. So you've got a lot of people saying, I'm going to go now because there's not as many people there. And let's be honest, in the summer, Nigel... summers these last 3 or 4 years have been progressively slower That's where you're going to see. Look, January 1st, Disney was already discounting the crap out of summer because they know it's going to be a rough sell. The traffic has moved to the fall. The popularity of the parties, the popularity of Food and Wine Festival has drawn a lot of traffic now. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point you don't see Food and Wine Festival in June or July. but that being said, so I think you have one group of people saying that we're going to come now, but then you have the other group of people saying, no, I don't want to see construction walls. I just want to see it when it's done. I don't want to see how the sausage is made. I just want the sausage. Okay, that didn't come out right. I just want the final product. So I think it's 6 to 5 and pick 'em.
But it's never going to be done. Like, they're always going to be, as soon as this is done, they're going to do something more. And you get the same feel sometimes at the resorts. That happened, I feel like, 18 months, 2 years ago, I would get calls and say, well, what resort isn't under construction? They all have constructionists, but that's what they have to do. They have to keep changing it, renovating.
Let's talk about why. Let's talk about why in the last, 5 to 7 years, it's been so extreme. You just mentioned you were up at Universal. Universal was always just an annoying little gnat to Disney for years. And then Harry Potter happened. Wizarding World opened, then Diagon Alley opened, and all of a sudden Disney started losing real market share to Universal because they didn't take it seriously. Even when it was announced that they were getting Harry Potter, because Disney passed on it because they weren't willing to give J.K. Rowling the level of control she wanted. Disney passed on it. They're kicking themselves for that now, because probably would have put Universal out of business because the Universal was on the skids before that. But so now they've got Wizarding World. They're taking market share. Now they've announced a third gate, and it is a third gate that they're building. Volcano Bay is not a third gate. They tried to market it that way as another theme park. It's like, stop it. It's a water park. So as a result, now Disney, just like it seemed like they just panicked. And so, the push to hurry up and get Avatar opened after, 7 years of dragging their feet on that, and then Galaxy's Edge, and now all these new things they're adding for the 50th. So, no, this is going to go on. This is going to go on, because when's the new park opening for Universal? When's it slated to open?
2023, give or take.
So once that opens, guess what? Disney's going to have to answer that. They're still answering Harry Potter, okay? They're still answering Harry Potter.
Which I'm glad they didn't end up getting Harry Potter. I prefer that at Universal. I think
it fits better.
I think Universal takes a little more creative liberties outside their own intellectual property. So, I don't know.
Well, they don't have a lot of intellectual property.
I know, but I'm just saying, I like what Universal did with Harry Potter, and I think they made it really immersive, and I'm happy with it over at Universal. So
yeah,
glad for that one.
How was it over at Universal? I mean, you were just there?
Yeah, we were just there. We really liked it. I mean, and I was talking about this earlier, the not getting the ability for Disney to make Harry Potter what they wanted it to be. I mean, it's very, it is very immersive. It is very, I feel like it was perfect. It was exactly what I expected it to be when I got there. You couldn't have done that at Disney. I was saying Diagon Alley is so narrow. I really felt like I was there. You couldn't have done that at Disney. It would have had to have been so much bigger because there were so many more people.
Well,
feel like they couldn't have done that.
You're there over a holiday weekend, President's Weekend,
yep.
Which I know Disney World was a zoo. How was it at Universal?
It was busy.
Was it?
I think we're supposed to be nines and tens on, crowds, and it was busy. We stayed at Portofino, so we had the express passes, which
Portofino
definitely helped out. We still waited 45 minutes, to get on certain rides. And
so,
stuff,
so you book Universal as well?
Yes.
Okay.
I
so
do.
Looking
yeah.
for a Universal vacation? Yeah. Jennifer Lloyd can help you out. All right. So, Rhino, what do you think? What do you think about all the construction and what's going on right now? You're sitting over there very quietly.
I think it is unsightly. I think the part that's the hardest is A lot of, and I noticed how much construction it was when I was trying to shoot that the Walt Disney World 101 video with Denny, is that everywhere we went, I couldn't get a shot without a green construction wall in the background anywhere in the front of that park. And I was like, this is crazy. I didn't realize it was as extensive as it is when you're trying to take a picture. But, I mean, I think it's like what you said. There's nothing you can do. You know, they want to transform this park to make it better. I do wish there was some way to cover up when the building's half torn down so it's like you can see into the building. That was kind of weird, but it is what it is. I don't know. I think now for me, it's mostly isolated to Epcot, whereas it's starting to feel less like everywhere is under construction. Like when Galaxy's Edge was going on and all this other stuff, I felt like everywhere you went at Disney, it was like the road was under construction, the park was under construction. It feels like it's getting a little more, like a little more focused, a little less all over the place now. So we'll see. I'm interested to see if the castle is going to put up stuff over the castle while it's going through its rehab or whatever renovation, or if it'll just be done overnight and then come back to the day or something like that. So I think that'll be a big factor in how I feel about construction. If the castle's under a box for the next 6 months,
it's going to be scrimmed. You know? I almost, for what they're talking about doing.
Well, that's what they did at Disneyland. That's why I'm
gonna have
sure,
to.
But
it'll be scrimmed. The one thing that I keep thinking about more and more often now is, you know, I'm, as much as I love Disney and go so often here at Walt Disney World with our annual pass and travel out to Disneyland, and like, it's Disney is there in my life, but Kylie and I like to see other places outside of Disney too. And when
there are no other places outside of Disney,
there are plenty, heretic, and they are beautiful. And I start to think about it in the same aspect as we hold Disney up to, like. I know I'm going to go up to New York City at some time here in the future. If I get to New York City and there's construction or stuff blocking what I want to do, or if there's a show I want to see that ends up closing, like, am I really going to have this same meltdown? And I know that's a strong word to say people are.
It is not the same thing. Look, if I fly to New York City, even in a halfway decent hotel, it's not going to cost me the same thing. I'm not paying extra. Like, I have to fly there and I have to get a hotel and then I have to pay extra to go into New York City. You know, they have to buy tickets and stuff. So it's really not an apples to apples. I think it's an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it is, but I'm just thinking about it in terms of other destinations. Like when Rhino went to England, he really wanted to do the Harry Potter exhibit and wasn't able to. And like,
because I booked a whole trip and didn't. And the last thing I thought, oh, I'll just book the tickets for the Harry Potter thing last. What a moron.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of saying it from that perspective is I get Disney's kind of is a phenomenon where people hold it to a much higher standard. But sometimes I think it is good, too, to like step back and be like, it's a place like any other place in the world.
Also, if it's not your first time.
Yeah.
Okay, you've seen the castle maybe like 10 times. Then maybe let's not be so upset if it's scrimmed on your 11th trip. I mean,
well,
come on.
There are. Yeah, I mean,
the fact that you've been 11 times should be like.
But I'm going to be the voice of the upset, even though I'm not upset by it. I'm going to be the voice of that group because, again, we're going to talk about something in a little bit that I think ties into this. This isn't, you know, going to see a Broadway play. This isn't going to see the Empire State Building or the World Trade Center or the Liberty Tower. This is different. This is different. You know, there's an emotional connection that we've made as fans. It filled something in our lives. Let's just be real. I was having a conversation on the phone with a friend of mine the other day about this very thing, that there's, you know, everybody has this hole in their soul, right? Everybody has something that they need to connect with in order to fill that. I don't care who you are. And, you know, for some people it's sports, and for some people it's NASCAR, and for some people it's, you know, other Power hobbies Rangers. And interests. For us, it's Disney. For us, it's Disney. And so it's not a place we go. It's a thing we experience and connect with. That's just a whole different level. So when that, you know, how many people do you hear talk about, no matter how many, and I'll be one of them that says it, no matter how many times I go to the Magic Kingdom, and, you know, we're well in the triple digits here. I make that turn onto Main Street and see that castle. Mm-hmm. There's something there. It's not just a building. It means something, and it brings back this flood of memories and experiences that I've had with people over the last 20, almost 30 years now. So that's why, like, when we talk about going to New York and there's construction, I grew up in that area. I have many, many wonderful experiences in New York, and to a degree, I have a connection to that city. But it's not anything like anything, even the town I grew up in. I don't have the same connection to Ocean Grove as I do to Disney. So there is a reason why people get so upset, and it's easy for us. And I've done it. I've done it where, you know, you roll your eyes and be like, oh, knock it off. But there's a reason why people get so upset. So I want to make sure I'm the voice. I'm a voice for that group in this discussion.
And I think it's funny, too, that the transparency would be nice, too, a little bit. I mean, looking back now on when the free dining promotion came out for the summer, now we can look back on that and say, oh, well, now we see why they knew they were going to have a problem over the summer, because now the castle's going to be scrimped.
Oh, I didn't even put that together until you just said it.
So the castle's going to be scrimmed now. So now, but if you talk to somebody and you were to tell them, because I think it's funny, we've known the Hippy Dippy pool is closing for how long at Pop Century, but we don't know the castle's going to be scrimmed over the summer. So you take that, the person that is, you know.
So everybody's booked their summer stuff with the free dining.
Well, then, I mean.
And now, oh, by the way.
People do get, like, really upset, though, because, like, even now, we, like, the Big Blue Pool is going to be closed at Art of Animation and stuff, and, like, people just stay. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for people, and they're like, oh my god, like, I wouldn't have stayed there. I would have stayed somewhere else had I have realized this.
All right, so just in the interest of time, because I do want to get to this other discussion, but I want to get some rapid fires and talk about other stuff other than construction going on at at Disney World. So since we're just kind of doing it freeform, who wants to go first?
I'm going to go first because mine seems to be brought up in this chat repeatedly, and we've already alluded to it and whatever. It's the Cinderella Castle getting a magical makeover, and Disney did share the concept art, which to me, I think this
looks gorgeous.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
I am one of the people who I think that the one at Disneyland looks phenomenal. I love the grays that they did out there, and it looks like they're doing a similar pattern with the grays here. I think the gold accents on all the turrets looks amazing out here. And I just, to me, I see this concept art, and I think that's going to take it from, like, oh, there's this castle from this cartoon movie, to there's a real castle that is, like, this work of art out here.
Agreed. Right now.
Yeah. Anybody not on board with the artist rendering?
It's okay if you aren't.
I like the artist rendering. I don't feel as passionate as you do about it. It's just a little gold plating.
Let's remember.
There's bricks too.
I think it's a more aesthetic change than just some gold plating. But remember the last time they did anything significant to the castle for the 25th anniversary. Okay, I'm still traumatized.
Okay, I need to tell you a story about that. In my house sat somebody who said to my face with all seriousness, where they went, oh, I really hope they make the cake again. And I laughed, and they went, what are you laughing at? And I was like, "What? Didn't you just tell a joke?" And they were like, no, I thought it was gorgeous. My parents got to see it, and I never got to see it in person. And I was like, you know that's like a laughing point in Disney's history in the parks about that's this cake?
You say, bless your
heart. And I said,
heart.
Get out.
Yeah, bless your heart. That's the Southern. That's the Southern thing. Oh, bless your heart.
I was mad. I missed that. I had my best friend growing up. He got to come the year the castle cake happened, and they brought us home a magnet. It probably is still on my mom's fridge at home.
I think my first trip with John was
was 97.
Corey has a photo of it.
No.
Oh, we have a photo of it.
No.
96, sorry.
96.
25th. Yeah.
Was 96. I know we saw it together. I think that was our first trip together. Because we met in July 95. So, yeah, that would have been our first trip together.
I even like what they did for when Disneyland celebrated its 50th. Our castle got redone, too, and they had the big tile mosaic in the middle, and then they added some of the characters in like gold surrounded to different areas of
the
castle.
I was there for that, and I loved it. Like, we thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
I still have a we were like collecting things that were like 50th anniversary stuff because my mom was
or
like, 25th, we need
or
the 50th or Disneyland. Disneyland. We, they were like, we need to like get all this stuff so like just in case it's worth money someday. So like there is a safe in Tennessee at my mom's house that has like money, like you could exchange your money for like 50th anniversary money, and there's also like Coke bottles that still have the Coke in it that have like Coke bottles with the Coke still in it, but they have like 50th anniversary all around it and stuff. So we have all this gear and everything from that. It was a really cool castle.
All right, who else? Thank you, Rhino.
Oh, one last thing. That construction, I don't know what we're going to call it, but it just happens now through the summer. I assume it's over and done with by the time they're putting the lights up for Christmas. That was a question a lot of people are asking. Move on.
So it started now?
Yes, it started as of the day that article was written. Okay. So, yeah. So it has started.
All right. Thank you. Who else?
Okay.
Julie?
Okay. So if you're not aware, 2020, it will be the 70th anniversary of Disney's Cinderella, the movie.
Okay.
So they're releasing special treats like all over the place in honor of this. And at the Main Street Bakery, they're offering a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo Cake. It's a lemon scented mousse with blueberry compote filling atop a citrus almond cake. Oh my gosh. It's really cute.
That sounds real good.
Well, this is the problem. But this is the problem with World. I mean, maybe this tastes good. Maybe this tastes good. But let's be honest. You know, when we do cupcakes and special desserts like this, it is run through a flavor vacuum. So it's great for Instagram, but it's get about two bites in, and it's like eating cardboard.
Well, they're doing a blue soft serve at the Polynesian Village Resort. So it's actually vanilla ice cream, but it's going to be blue and topped with like a little clock. With crispy white pearls all over it. And glitter. Edible glitter, apparently.
The prosecution rests.
And then what he showed is, it was a cupcake. Yeah. And that's at Port Orleans Riverside and French Quarter. It's a vanilla cupcake with strawberry fluff, buttercream, and it has a white chocolate slipper on top. But it's blue.
I do wish we did more than just the sweets and stuff like that. I wish it was like,
but why is there not merchandise? Like, why am I not seeing like a release of like something cool? It's not something that I can just eat.
Yeah, or like the roasted mice for dinner at Cinderella's royal table or something. You know,
I could actually do like guinea pigs or something.
Okay, great idea. All right, thank you, Julie. Who else?
So also coming up this year is the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. So Animal Kingdom will be doing a multi-day celebration from the 18th of April through the 22nd of April. Because it's also – and it coincides with the 25th anniversary of the Disney Conservation Fund as well. So both of those things come together.
Wow, it's
going to
be a blowout.
It's going to be a blowout. That's what they said. Why not?
Tree-hugging hippie blowout.
Why not have a party when those two things happen at once? So there's going to be special speakers there, entertainment, behind-the-scenes tours that I guess that are going to be different and special. Again, probably it's special food and beverage, so more
and
snacks.
I don't think there's any truth to the rumor that there will be special kiosks showing you different things to do with your man bun.
And then if you're going to miss all of that, there's a special National Geographic Earth Day Live at 8 p.m. on the 22nd. So,
okay.
Yes.
There you go. Tree hugging hippies unite. 18th to the 22nd of April. Right. Fortunately, I'll be on the other side of the world. All right. Craig, you got anything?
Nope.
I know you had no time.
I don't have one either. So.
All right. Yeah. All right. this wasn't intentional, but just as the conversation progressed earlier, I realized there was a connection to an article that I wanted to talk about that went on the Diz a few days ago. By Ann Eddy, called Post-Disney Depression, Six Ways to Keep the Magic Alive Once You Return Home. Now, I want to start out by saying, because anytime we've had discussions like this, some people get upset because we're using the word depression. At no point in this conversation making light of clinical depression. As someone who has suffered in his life with clinical depression, been medicated for clinical depression, had a suicide pretty serious suicide attempt. I take that very, very seriously. So we're using depression it's used in a more casual way here, as the blues, as opposed to clinical depression. So before the emails start flying, I am wanting just to put that disclaimer out there. But you know, what we were talking about before, how this goes, you know, our passion for Disney goes much deeper than I like this place. You know, I love London. Okay. I love Paris. I love Italy. What you're looking
at? What? No, you're rolling your eyes. I'm stuck on the other thing.
Go okay. Ahead. No, believe me, we've gotten.
It's just, I can't know. Believe you even have to explain that.
I know. Okay. But that's you do. Fine. You do. But when we talk about Disney, there was something, you know, I share my story, how my first time ever coming to Disney, my first, you know, it was one day I had. I was newly sober as a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, and I walked into Epcot, and I was like, wow, this is what I did drugs to feel like. Everything was larger than life and beautiful, and everybody was friendly, and everything was clean. It was this feeling, and that was where I made that connection that eventually led to obsessive planning and trips, which led to me starting the Diz, which led to us creating Dreams Unlimited Travel, which led to us doing the boards, DizBoards.com, which led to us doing these shows and all the other things that we've done. So, you know, there is a real connection there. And I remember when I lived in New Jersey and would come down here on vacation, and because, you know, you put so much time into planning. My God, we will book dining reservations 6 months in advance. That's how much we love it. That's how important this is to us. So when you have that buildup, especially for the obsessive planners, which I think the vast majority, if you're listening to this show, you're in the club. That when you have all that buildup and you go have this experience and then you go home and it's over, there's a real letdown. And it's not just, oh, I had fun doing that. Now I'm just, you know, oh, it's sad it's over. No, it's a little bit deeper than that. So does anybody not identify with that? Has anybody ever not had that experience?
There was that time at Disneyland where I thought you were going to have to drag me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Fly back to get me and make me leave, because I stayed the days after D23 and I was like,
you were emotional.
I'm going to have an emotional breakdown. Yeah.
You were emotional after that first trip about leaving. I remember in the airport, you were actually emotional. Craig doesn't have emotions, so I know he can't really relate.
No, it's, you know, it's
the robot is not functioning today.
Broken. It's the summer camp theory method of anything is that I
hated summer camp.
Everyone does hate summer camp while you're there, and then the last day when you're leaving all your friends and you're saying goodbye, then it's like, oh, I miss summer camp. No, like, I hated it every single day. But I miss that feeling that it instilled in me at some point in time. So if you don't feel that, then, you know, it's I don't want to say you're weird, but I think it's a very common feeling for people, whether it's about Disney or home or
I think the big thing is, like, people remember the really high highs of their Disney trip. There's a few instances that can happen. Like, if there's, like, a disaster with, like, fireworks stuff or whatever, there's always – then some people have a complaint there. But, like, for the most part, people remember the best parts. You don't remember when, like, Dad finally snapped and just, like, started, like, some screaming and stuff. Like, that was a big thing. You remember, like, oh, my God, remember how exciting it was when this happened. Or, like, this cast member gave us this thing. And you go home and you just, like, relive it over and over. And I think some people even relive it to the point that I know that happened to me, where we would relive it and think things happened on the trip that didn't even happen. And then you go back. I was convinced after I did my first I did the Disney Dream the first time years ago. I did the Disney Dream a few years ago, and I was convinced that there was an Alice in Wonderland themed restaurant on the cruise.
You were confusing Enchanted Garden.
Yeah, and I thought that was – I was like, no. It was like the hedges, and there was like the whole thing, and like they did this Alice in Wonderland thing, and that was obviously not true now that I sell that product. But my whole family has talked about this. Remember that Alice in Wonderland restaurant? Like, and we've just discussed the details of it, and it's just grown and grown into this thing that didn't even happen. So
it was like group hallucination.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, so – This is, you know, this is all by way of saying this is a real thing.
Yeah.
This is a real thing. And again, not trying to equate it with clinical depression, because that's an entirely different thing. But Anne outlines, she has six things in this article that she outlines, and there'll be a link to the article in the show notes page, that you can do to help mitigate. Now, it's far more than six, but she lists six here. One is find a local Disney community. And,
you know,
well, I mean, obviously it's different for us. We never leave. But, you know, finding other people, and it's just funny because a friend of mine, you know, was talking to a friend of mine the other night about this very topic, about, you know, he doesn't, you know, where he lives, he doesn't have a lot of other people who share his passion for Disney. And so these connections matter. And have, you know, because look, we all know when you're at work and you say, I'm going on vacation, where are you going? Disney World
again.
And right. So when I worked at UPS, I used to get that. Ain't none of them joking about it now. that's the other thing you can do is make them pay. That's a different discussion.
Pete emails them his W-2 every year.
But finding a group or other people that share your passion. And don't underestimate how many closet fans there are because of that very thing, right?
I was going to say, I lived in one for quite a bit of time.
Different closet. You were in a different closet, dear. Yours had boas and your mother's shoes. Number two on her list is pixie dust your house. What?
No, I wasn't sure what that meant.
Disney flair.
It was just the phrasing. I was like, what?
I get it.
Yeah.
You were thinking someone's going to come over with glitter and just start throwing it all around.
That sounds like a mess.
Well, you know, that's something I do. Even though I live here, and I've had to stop because I have closets full.
He does.
Full.
You have for a long time.
One of them is to my right now.
Yeah.
Actually, we got some stuff in there we got to give away. Gonna give away some stuff on DCL Fan when we launch it. But anyway, I've got closets full of art and things that because I just got so in the habit of when I was in Walt Disney World or Disneyland or, you know, anywhere else. Oh, wow, you know, that's going to look great on this wall. And, you know, now I have, for every wall I have, there's like 20 options of things I can put on it. But point is well taken. You know, for me, it's especially those things that have emotional resonance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to remind me of a certain moment or a certain place. I attach to things like that. Everything has a meaning. Everything has a story. I can walk around this house and tell you the story of my life and all the different things. They all mean something. So I think that is certainly a great way to do it. Make a copycat meal.
I like this one.
There are tons of great Disney recipes out there. One of the easiest to make is the hoop-de-doo cornbread. You'd be stunned how easy it is to make that cornbread, and it's dead on the money. Somewhere we have a recipe for that, and we'll throw that up somewhere. But there are so many recipes out there right now.
You could also buy a Mickey waffle maker.
Yep.
And you can have Mickey Mouse waffles for breakfast anytime you want. So, I mean, I don't eat waffles, but...
Yeah, I don't eat waffles.
for those of you that do.
My aunt does the Ohana, the bread. She's only been to Disney once, and she got the recipe, and she does the Ohana bread, and it's extra boozy when Diane makes it, but it's good.
But that was because of the experience she had.
At the Polynesian, yeah.
At the Polynesian.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot to say about somebody only on that one trip. She's only been that one time in her whole life, and she still is like, she loves making it, you know? I connect with food a lot on an emotional level, as you can tell. But I always think like recreating those dishes is such like a it's like therapeutic, but it's also like a little game. It's like it makes it fun where you kind of see what went in to tell that story. And I don't know, it's fun to have people over and share that experience. I think.
And I also just want to add, this article is so well written. It's really well done. It's a really enjoyable read. So I really encourage everybody to go read this because I'm just hitting the highlights here. Number four on the list is themed movie night.
Oh yeah. Which we pretty much only watch Disney movies.
Okay, I was like, oh, that's why I'm looking at you.
You were shaking your head no for a second. You're like, yeah. No.
As in done.
And you can put that together with making a dinner that you or a food yeah, or something and totally. Put that together now, watching the movie.
Now, Jennifer, where do you live?
I live in upstate New York in Rochester.
Upstate New York. So yeah. Do you do some of these things?
We do, yeah. We're
what do you do?
Big Disney fan. Well, I mean, we play Be Our Guest and dance around the kitchen on Saturday mornings while we're having breakfast. So
wow.
We're a little over the top, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
To give a plug to another one of my shows, should have done it in housekeeping. I can't believe I forgot it. But like one of the things that Michael and I are starting on Connecting with Walt is doing, now that they've gotten rid of Treasures from the Disney Vault on TCM, which used to play all classic movies in a block, all Disney ones, now we're kind of doing that ourselves, but aligning it with stuff you can find on Disney Plus. So we just did Valentine's Day a couple weeks back to like, well, if you want to incorporate Disney in, what Valentine's Day romantic movies can you watch? So we're going to be doing recommendations on that, and I should have done it in housekeeping. I don't want to bring down the mood now, but Michael is having surgery tomorrow, and it's something that is very concerning, so he wants everyone's thoughts and,
oh, yeah.
And prayers with
absolutely.
Him. So it's if you can think about him today before tomorrow, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Anybody else do?
I do the Dory voice, the whale voice.
The Dory
and voice. Yesterday, I did it outside, and Finley was so mortified. She said, Mom, what if the neighbors heard you? She was like, they're going to think you're having a mental breakdown.
I like Wait, what's the Dory voice?
When she's imitating the whale.
He's trying to get you to do it.
I know. Oh, yeah. I might blow Pete's ears out. It's like, hello.
From Memento.
the last one on the list, I like that one, the Disney bounding.
Okay, yeah. Oh. On the list of things I'll never do?
Yeah, well, so there was a couple of people I follow on Instagram that I was like, oh, these people must be from around like Disneyland or here or somewhere in here. And they weren't. They're from like Texas.
They travel.
Yeah, and it's their way to bring it into their life. So they go to like Box Lunch or Hot Topic. They see all these things. And then they like to put together like, outfits.
Let's talk about what, for people who may not be familiar with it, that they don't think it's like bondage. let's talk about what Disney bounding is.
So it's basically like you create outfits that are inspired by like your favorite Disney mm-hmm. character, movie, something like that. It can be something as simple as like, okay, you love Winnie the Pooh. Like I'm like one red shirt away from being Winnie the Pooh right now.
Yes, 'cause
I have brown pants on and you would put like a red shirt and write like Pooh on it or something like that. Or maybe just wear a red t-shirt or you do like, it can be like color schemes. It can be straight up like it's not wearing
it's
a costume.
Here.
It's
yeah. called. Yeah.
I mean, your purple shirt, Yzma.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Throw some feathers on, and you're Yzma.
Casual Halloween.
In the article, she does have some pictures showing some examples of and these are actually really really good. There's one woman doing like it's an Adventureland Disney bounding and. The outfit looks phenomenal.
People do rides, characters, lands.
Yeah. It's just not characters.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, especially when it's done by someone with a flair, some of these are
incredible.
So I have this one where like...
And they don't look like stupid. It doesn't look like you're walking around in a costume. It just looks like you're walking around really well put together in an interesting collection of colors and prints.
Yeah, I have this one that's like I've got these maroon kind of shorts and I have the shirt that Star-Lord wore in the second Guardians. It's not English on it, but a word across it. And then someone got me a Rocket Raccoon, like the backpack that hugs you. And I was like, oh, I've got a little outfit right now.
Now you're just in Star-Lord drag.
Yeah, well, and I look like I'm waiting for the school bus, but it's fine. I will always be a child at heart, so it's fine. But I love seeing people who do these outfits and like the photos and making a whole thing out of it. It's fun. Like,
Has anybody else, have you ever done Disney bounding, Jennifer?
I have not. No.
No. No. I don't think any of us have.
I know
you
haven't.
I've never done Disney bounding, but when I first, like from the topic one of this, when I first moved down here, because even then you think, okay, I'm moving down to Disney and people here love it and stuff. You still got to find these people to a degree. I mean, we're all here, but like, there's a lot of people who really dislike Disney that live in this area that are just sick of it, and they're sick of the traffic and all that. And so I used to just I used to go to the parks with people on Craigslist. So I just didn't have anyone to go with when I first moved here, and I had an annual pass, and there's lots and lots
of
people.
I'm amazed you're alive.
There's lots of people on Craigslist that post, I just am by myself and I like going to Disney and I don't want to go alone, and I have an annual pass, and I met friends that way.
Honestly,
going to the park.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I've seen that on the boards. I've seen that on Facebook. Yeah. I've seen it on...
I used to go do it all the time.
Yeah. So... maybe they put a Craigslist ad up looking for Disney fit. Don't do that.
No. Well, there is another website that we run that would be a great place to...
Safer.
I think, yeah. Safer. Yeah. Moderated site.
A little safer.
Number six on her list, try a new medium for your Disney fix. Books, for example. There's so many different Disney books, Disney e-books that are available, music, things like that. I want to add one to this list, and not to be self-serving, but Magic Candle Company is, I mean, those scents from Magic Candle are so dead on the money, so many of them, that's why I can't stop burning them. I mean, I go through so many of those damn candles.
Smell connects you to memories for sure.
Yeah. It does. And that's, you know, like the Banshee Flight is dead on the money with coming off of... Flight of Passage.
Yeah. I think with those two, it's really good because some of them, if it is like the Contemporary or whatever, you may not be staying at that resort this trip, or you may not get there again for a while to whatever thing you're going to. And, you know, even right now, if you are like Steve Porter and love the Rome Burning Candle, like, you can't necessarily experience that
at some point.
So, you know, there's certain things that at least by keeping it, you can keep the nostalgia up.
Okay. We're losing Jules.
We are.
She's going.
Gotta go get the kids.
Pro.
Take care, honey.
Bye, guys.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, wow. We're 10 after 2. I didn't even realize that. I did want to mention, Steve Porter's doing really well. I was chatting with him the other day. Doing really well adjusting out in Salt Lake has a new job that he seems to really enjoy. In getting ready for the arrival of baby boy Porter. I'm not sure exactly when Michaela's due, but just wanted to give that look. I meant to do that in housekeeping, and I forgot to. And that I miss him. I miss him so much. I miss him to death.
I have another in terms of mediums. A lot of times, you know, we're blessed in what we do that we have these shows and we do vlogs and stuff where we can take our experience and make them live on the internet forever. And that's something that, you know, a lot of people are starting to get into so they can. But it never hurts to go back to the old-fashioned, like, trip report style, which used to be a very, very huge part of Disboards, is people sharing their trip reports and people attaching on and subscribing to those threads so they can live through what other people are doing. And, you know,
trip reports and our trip reports board is still very popular.
Yeah. Well, because we're gearing up so much for DCL fan, I've spent the last couple months, I'm following people's, like, they'll do their pre-trip reports, and then they'll do their post-trip reports, and they're actually pretty interesting. Like, I am following your stories out there. So, like, if you're posting on there, I probably read your story in the last, like, 6 months.
He follows so much stuff that goes on the boards. Yeah. I don't know how he finds the time.
I just go look.
Right. But yeah. You spend a lot of time on the boards. You pay a lot of attention to what goes on the boards, which, you know, I own them, so I really should be too. I do more now than I did before, especially with when I bought into DVC. the amount of information I got, how much I learned mm-hmm. from our DVC forums. And the same thing is true on our Disney Cruise Line forums as well. Give them a plug.
Yeah, even with me starting as an agent, I mean, yes, I had done a Disney cruise or two, but I had not. I mean, you don't know all the intricacies of like these different room types that are like hidden rooms and porthole rooms and all this kind of stuff. I mean, when I first started, I was on the cruise boards all the time researching for my own information to help people whenever they came to me. So that's a wealth of knowledge is on there.
So lots of things you can do. We'll have a link to this article in the show notes page. We're over 600 members now in our DCL fan Facebook group. So be sure to head out to Facebook and sign up to join us on that. And as I mentioned, on the 24th, February 24th, we'll be launching DCLFan.com. So head over and join us next Monday. And that is going to do it for our show for this week, folks. We hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you. You're always welcome to come back.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Sean, for coming at the last minute. I had a good time today. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next time with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, and remember, stay out of the damn lakes.